Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Welcome to episode 45 of Lesbians Who Write. This week, we're going to be talking about how was 2019 for you. Joining me, Claire Lydon, is my co-host, the New Year Fairy, with her little tippy-tappy shoes on, T.B. Markinson. Hello, T.B. Happy 2020. How are you?
Did you call me a fairy? I don't think that's very PC, and I think you have it wrong. No, I'm doing well. Should we mention that we're recording this before 2019's over?
You know, we can, yes. I'm wishing you happy 2020, even though we're recording it early. But it is the new year, so let's imagine it is.
I'm very excited about the new year, because 2019 was very hard on me, and I really want this fucking year to just, can it just end? I was at my desk last night doing the mega sell, and I was copying a lot of links and everything, and I just kept chanting, fucking, this year needs to end. This year needs to end. This year needs to end. I am so excited for 2020.
Do you think in 2020 you're going to start bringing the light rather than the dark?
I don't think I'm going to have a total personality change, no.
Okay, good. Good, because this podcast wouldn't be the same if you weren't, you know, the opposite of me, would it?
No.
Before we get on to comments and how the year's been, tell me how your week's been. And as we're recording this straight after the last one, it won't be that different to the last one, but I'm sure you kept some things back, so... hit me.
I did keep some things back. So obviously, as this goes out, my Lizzie book will be with the editor. So my next project is outlining my next book, which I have been doing research on. And I had started writing, and I had 10K in it. And then that thing, life happened. And so I had to set the project aside yet again. How many times is that this year? This is like the worst year for this.
It's that old set the book aside thing again.
Oh my god, so now I have to reread it, and then I lost the outline. It's just been a disaster. The final part of 2019 has just been hell. When is it ending? Please end. But, so I have to redo that while I'm waiting for the Lizzie book to get back, and so I will be rereading what I've written, and then re-outlining, and going through all the misery yet again. And then, but...
the misery.
The misery of being a writer. But also, I have some time scheduled where you'll like this as the Christmas... I was going to say Christmas lover, but that doesn't sound right, does it? The person who loves Christmas, is
really
that better?
It really doesn't sound right. Don't call me the Christmas lover.
Can everyone in comments call Claire the Christmas lover? I'm trying to picture your t-shirt now.
I feel like I should have a leopard skin leotard on to be the Christmas lover with fur trim. What do you think?
What, no red and green?
Oh, I suppose, yeah. Mariah Carey style satin.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. This is her season as well. I think you should become her lover.
Yes, I should become... make it happen, everyone. Why aren't I Mariah Carey's lover by now? All she wants for Christmas is me.
That's perfect. But so since it is the holiday season, I have set aside a couple days where I'm going to make...
and some Daves.
And some Daves. Daves are key in this one.
Yeah, I love a Dave.
You do.
I do love a Dave.
You had like three different Daves in it. I'm like, I think you need to change the name.
No. Dave is the default name. Dave and Karen.
But I'm going to make sugar cookies. I'm going to watch telly in my underpants. Because I am not doing shit for like three solid days. I'm going to eat a lot of cookies and watch telly in my underpants. That's where I'm at with my energy level for the end of this year. So if anyone comes over for Christmas, I'm going to be in my underpants.
You've been warned. Don't go to TB's house. That's good. I'm glad that you're going to have a little bit of fun and a little bit of festive relaxation.
I think after this year, I deserve it. I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to do nothing. No one should expect anything from me. No emails. Just don't bug me, people. I'm done.
She's done. Well, for me, as this goes out in 2020, I'll be panicking. And in right at the end of my second or probably third draft for the new book. So, but I'm not panicking at the moment because I'm still in my my beautiful, I've just finished my first draft, Haze. But I'm sure by the time this goes out, I'll be crazy about it. But yeah, we'll find out more when we record next. But this week also, what I've been doing is I've put, so You're My Kind came out in March, and that was in Kindle Unlimited for 3 months. Well, I was going to put it in for 3 months. Then I decided that I'd leave it in for 6 months, because if your book's in Kindle Unlimited, it only has to be in there for 3 months, and you can take it out after 3 months. It's a 3 month term. But I decided after 3 months I'd leave it in for six, because I don't normally do that, and I thought I'd see if there's any effect. So I did. And then I was just about to take it out in September, and then Amazon emailed me and said, hey, if you leave your book in KU, we'll put it in Prime Reading, and we'll give you some money for it. So I decided that I would leave it in for another 3 months. So it's been 9 months since that book came out, and it's been in KU. So it's out of KU now. So I've put it up on the other platforms. So it's up on Apple, Kobo, what are the other ones? Apple, Kobo,
Barnes & Noble?
Google, Barnes & Noble, Bella Books, all those. So, yeah, and definitely up by the time this goes out. I'm just waiting for the links to come through so I can update my website. So that's exciting that that's out there now on all their platforms. So if you've been waiting for it, I'm sure there are so many people who've been waiting for it.
Millions
of people have been waiting for You're My Kind to come to Apple Books. Well, it's there now, everyone.
They're probably going to eat sugar cookies in their underpants and read your book.
Yes. Talking of cookies, so the other thing I've been doing is today I actually went shopping. I went shopping for some presents for my wife, because it's the week before Christmas as we record. But what I came back with is lots of homeware. So I've bought some tea towels and some cushions and some tongs, kitchen tongs. Amazing. But also I was looking for Christmas cookie, what is it when you cut them out?
Cookie cutters?
Yes.
I'm really starting to think that you are not the Christmas person.
I've never made cookies before, and I want to make cookies. And another lesbian fiction author, S.R. Silcox, who's in Australia, hello Selena, if you're listening, she was making Christmas cookies and she was putting them on Facebook, and then she put the recipe up. So I've screen grabbed it, and I've got some tips from her, and she made them her Christmas cookies were in the shape of little people. But I was looking for like a Christmas tree or a star or something like that, and there was nothing. I couldn't find anything. So I'm going to have to...
Now, when you say little people, do you mean like gingerbread women?
Well, yes, probably gingerbread people.
You really know nothing about Christmas.
They were gingerbread people, weren't they? Yes, that's what they were.
Well, did they have a big sack over his shoulder? Because that's Santa.
No.
I think we need to cover the basics here, because I'm really starting to learn that you fucking know nothing about Christmas.
I've watched so many Christmas movies in my life, and they always have a scene where they bake Christmas cookies. And I think I did say in a podcast a couple of weeks ago that I would have to bake them because I've never done it. And then my wife listened to it and she went, well, where's my Christmas cookies, bitch? So she didn't say bitch. She's nice like that. So I do need to make her some Christmas cookies, and I want to do it to get into the Christmas spirit. So not that I am already in it. I was singing Mariah Carey at the top of my lungs today. I put it on my Instagram story. You should listen to it today, because it's the worst I've ever sung in my life.
Can you give us a little sample right now?
No, it's just it sounds like, you know, there's an animal being killed, which nobody wants.
So I wanna roll back a second when you said you came home from the shops with like tea towels and stuff like that.
Mm.
Are those the gifts you got your wife?
Well, no. I've still got to get those. So I'm going out tomorrow. However, I didn't get her this Christmas, but I got us as a joint lesbian gift for our lesbian house, is I got some Ellen DeGeneres, right, drying up cloths. I know. You can get anything these days. They're actually branded Ellen DeGeneres, so I had to buy them.
Does it have, like, her face on them?
No, just, like, her name on the tag.
I think I got, when I moved back to the States last year, I have a, very adorable, really warm blanket on my bed, and it has like little sheep with like jingle bell balls dangling off their hats and stuff like that. But I think that's also an Ellen as well. She's just making a shitload of money, isn't she?
She is, off all the lesbians, yeah. Because I saw it and I thought, well, I have to get those.
Maybe we should start doing that. The lesbians who write blankets.
I'm sure they'd
wrap yourself up with us.
They'd fly off the shelves. And the one other thing I wanted to mention, not necessarily for this week, but just to put it out there, because we are now in 2020 as this goes out, is that TB is coming over to the UK for the London Book Fair and for us to go away together to the scene of our co-write we're going to do. So we are going to be in London on Sunday, March the 8th, and we're planning to do a meetup. So we're going to basically, the two of us are going to be in a pub in central London. And if you fancy coming down and saying hello and talking about all three things or anything writing, reading, then do come along. So we will be giving out location of where this might take place when we know it. We don't know it yet, but we just wanted to throw it out there and say Sunday, March the 8th, if you're around, if you're in near central London, come and see us.
Yeah, and it's also the Sunday before, there's going to be the self-publishing, is it Formula?
Yeah, the self-publishing Formula author event is taking place on Monday the 9th of March, and then the London Book Fair is Tuesday the 10th to Thursday the 12th. So yeah, so it's a big sort of publishing week in London. So TB's flying in from the States for it, and we're going to be hosting a drinks. So come along and have a drink with us.
Absolutely, it'll be a lot of fun, and when you say central London, what's your idea of central London?
I don't know, really. I don't know. I'll look into it a little bit more. I obviously need somewhere where we can, you know, get a table and it's not going to be too busy. So central-ish.
Yeah, and somewhere close to a tube station.
Yeah, yeah. Zone 1, definitely.
Okay, Zone 1. I'm very familiar with Zone 1. That's where I lived.
I know. No one lives in Zone 1. You know that, right?
You do when you're an expat and the company pays for it.
Yes.
That's the only way you can afford it.
Yeah, no one else can afford to live in Zone 1. Zone 1's just filled with empty apartments. Right, comments. Comment monitor, what we got?
All right, so we have one comment this week, and it was Melissa Therese, the lesbian author, and she was on Twitter. And apparently, Claire, one of your lines from our previous episodes made her spew cappuccino out her nose. And then she claimed, this is quite a bold claim, and I had to write this down, and we have to share, that we are the greatest women in the world.
Well, I don't dispute.
In the world.
I don't dispute it, TB, do you?
I am the negative one.
I think you've got to, you know, when someone gives you this, you need to run with it and own it.
Thank you, Melissa. That was a very nice comment. I am sorry that you had a cappuccino come out your nose. I'm sure that burned a little bit, but Claire is kind of funny.
And I'm not that sorry, I've got to say. I think it's funny when people snort liquid out their nose.
Have you ever done it?
I'm sure I might have done. I think the very first experience I ever had of somebody snorting anything out their nose was actually when I was about 17 and we went on a trip to London. And imagine there's like sort of 20, 17, 18-year-olds all going down to London. So everyone got drunk, obviously, because that's what you do then. And then somebody was drinking whiskey on the train and they vomited on the train out of their nose. I never knew that was possible.
That is disgusting.
I know.
Can you imagine vomiting whiskey out your nose? I mean, just like normally it burns, but whiskey would, like, is that like double burn?
Yeah. Anyway. That went somewhere I didn't expect. So let's move on from whiskey vomit and get on to, you never know where this conversation is going to go, do you, TB?
I never know.
You know, the other week someone stole your boob. This week, whiskey vomit. How was 2019 for you?
What's the metric on that? Because, like, emotionally, it was fucking hard. I broke this down into a couple categories because I have a few things I like to track throughout the year. Obviously, my writing part is part of it. And then there's IHL, there's my personal website. And now I get to track Lesbians Who Write. Mm. It's our first year. So where do you want me to dive in first? What are you most curious about?
Dealer's choice.
All right. Well, let's dive into my writing part because, you know, this is a writing podcast.
That seems good.
So I set a publishing goal of 5 books for 2019. And I did not hit that. I did not hit that. But I got really fucking close. I got 4 books published this year. So I compared it to 2018. I compared 2018 to 2019. So I had set some goals when I started 2019. 2018, for listeners who don't remember, it was an up and down year for me. I started off really well. And then I found out I had to move back from the UK to the US. So that kind of hit me hard. And then, of course, you can't really publish a lot when you're doing an international move. Like, that was my fourth international move in 7 years. So I wanted to double my income. And I hate talking about numbers, so I apologize to the listeners. I'm not going to mention numbers. But my goal was to double my income on KDP, so the ebook and paperback. I want to double that. And then I wanted to double my audio.
Are you saying that your goal for 2019, because you're confusing me with the 2018. So your goals for 2019 was to double your income. Yep.
Was to double my 2018.
Okay, yep.
And I did. 2019, even though I missed my publishing, I wanted to get 5 books out and I didn't. But I got a lot of new audiobooks out, so that helped. And then, yeah, and I think a lot of success was due to, obviously, we had the trilogy we did with Harper Bliss. So that was a huge push for my 2019. And then ROH, Reservations of the Heart. Remember, I was so nervous about that one. I thought it was going to be a total flop.
Yeah.
Well, I just passed the 90-day mark for the publication of that, I think, yesterday or the day before. And it's still in the top 20.
Mm.
So, I mean, that book has been phenomenal. And then we, Miranda and I just released, what's it called?
Holly and Ivy.
Holly and Ivy, thank you. So, yeah, so those books, they helped. And, yeah, so I met my goals of 2019 for writing on both the Audible side and in the ebook paperback side. So it was kind of exciting. And now I'm trying to set my 2020 goals. And I'm like, I can't double it again because that's way too much. I can't keep doubling. So I need like a more realistic. So I'm going to have to give some thought to that. Mm. I have like 2 weeks left to figure out what my goals are for 2020.
Have you taken a moment to, you know, sit back and pat yourself on the back about that? But because you should, because, you know, getting 4 books out is still a phenomenal effort and doubling your income, pretty darn good. And I'm assuming, obviously, for that, the number of books you sold went up quite dramatically as well.
It did. And it's one of those things, like, you hear this all the time, especially, like, in groups, like, 20 books to 50K and like that. The more you build up your backlist, the easier it gets to make more money, which... So when you release a new book, like I notice this each time when I release a new book, my backlist generates a decent amount of income. And it generates a decent amount of income to the point where like it's beating when I first published my very first book for the month. Just my backlist is beating those numbers. So it's one of those things where you just have to – I know it sucks and we're constantly bitching about editing deadlines and we're constantly bitching about how this is a really hard job. But if you want to make a career out of this and you want to support yourself – you just got to keep publishing. And it's, what am I trying to say? I don't know. I lost steam. What am I trying to say?
Keep publishing. Keep publishing because backlist is key. And it's true. Backlist is key. If you've only got one other book, then somebody reads your book. They've only got one other book they can possibly read. But if somebody reads your book for the first time and then you've got 10, 15 books that they other books that they can read, then they may well do that. They might not read them all, but they'll read some of them. I mean, every single week I get emails from people saying, I've just found you. I've just started reading your London series, or I've just read one of my standalones. And now I'm going to go and read this one and this one and this one. So you always have to remember that every week somebody will find you that's never found you before. That's the beauty of this job. So as you build up your catalogue, then more people have got more books of yours to read.
Absolutely. How was your 2019 on the writing front?
It's weird this year, I think. I think that my big leap forward was 2018. So I really, really super duper focused. I mean, I had been focusing the previous year. I think this is year 3 of me doing this full time. So I think the first year I did it, I made some publishing mistakes. The second year I did it, I really wanted to iron those out, and that was 2018. And so, and that was a huge leap forward. And that was the year I nearly doubled my income. So this year I didn't expect quite as big a leap, and I didn't get as big a leap because I didn't expect, I would have had to do something dramatically different, basically, for that to happen, like double the amount of books I put out. And And I didn't do that. So at the beginning of this year, I didn't really make any goals because basically I'd made some in 2018 and I'd kind of lost track of them. So I decided not to, but I did have a schedule. And by and large, I did stick to that schedule. So I did plan to publish 4 books. I only published 3. So that's a little bit annoying. But, you know, I published 3, so that's okay. The year before, I think I published 3. One of them was a co-write. So at least this year, I suppose, I published 3 that I wrote fully myself, so that I guess you could say that's a bit more that I managed to do. But all in all, this year it's been my best year yet again, even though kind of it doesn't feel like that. I think last year it was such a like a wow, I've really got, like, you know, my leaps forward was immense, like, you know, I increased my income by 75%.
In 2018 you increased your income by 75%?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
So
no wonder all the years are gonna suck now.
Yeah. So this year, my income went up 10%, which is pretty good.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you're still moving in the right direction, but I was all impressed. I doubled mine, and now I'm like, fuck, I really slacked. You did it 75%.
But hang on, isn't doubling it, you went up 100%?
See?
I was just sitting here like, I'm sure that doubling it is better than 75%, but I don't want to, I need to be certain of this before I point it out. No, I'm pretty certain. So here you go. Don't come to this podcast for maths help, everybody. So yeah, so this year, basically, it's my best year yet. I've sold, my book sales are up 10%. My revenue's up 10%, she said, sounding businessy. My words written are down. So I think, you know, I got a bit down when I saw this because, and I had a look because I think in 2017, I wrote about 280,000. Last year, I wrote 320,000. This year, at the beginning of November, I'd only written 225,000. And I was like, whoa, that's like 100,000 less. And I've only got 2 months left. So I really, really bucked my ideas up in November and December. And I've written like 75,000 words or 80,000 words, something like that, in those 2 months. So it's really jacked it up. So now I'm only 10% down. But I think for me, it's weird, isn't it? It's like, I need to make a living at this. Let's not beat around the bush about this. You know, we need to make money to be able to do this as a viable job. We are doing that. So that's great. And it really is good. And it's great to see books sold going up and, you know, sales going up and the money coming in going up. But if I'd finished the year 100,000 less words written than the year before, then that year is a fail because I'm a writer and I need to write words. So actually now I finished the year and I've written about 290,000. So I'm only about 10% down on last year, which is fine. I'm okay with that now. But it was like a wake up call when I looked at my numbers in November and like, what the hell have I been doing?
I love that you're thinking that you're what, almost 300,000 words, and you're like, what a fail for me. There's people out there who are still working on their first books, and they're probably like, fucking cunt.
Do you know, I know, and I totally understand that, because I do remember, so Mark Dawson, who's very famous in the indie author space for running the self-publishing formula, and he's a very successful author and does courses and all that jazz. I remember going to a Amazon talk in London when I first started. It was probably like 2014, 2015. And he was talking. And he said then that he'd written 250,000 new words that year. And I remember sitting in the audience and just thinking, well, what a fucking show off. I mean, just, you know, off you go. Go home. And here I am, 4 years later, going, well, I only wrote 290,000 words, so, you know, it's not that. I mean, you know, 10% down, but okay, it's okay. I mean, I understand.
Maybe we can be like the Mark Dawson and we can do courses in 2020. Yeah. I think we should do like authors and numbers because I really excel at them.
Yeah. Authors and numbers. God, she went up 75%. I'm really sad. I only doubled it. Hang on. But let me break it down. So the plus points were I launched 3 books. And so that is a plus point. You're My Kind, that came out in March, is one of my most successful launches ever. That book did phenomenally well. So that was a great launch this year. It was really great experience working on the Village Romance, going to the Cotswolds with you and Harper and working together. As well as launching 3 books, I launched 2 audiobooks. And I've commissioned or sold two others. So that's that. And they'll be coming out next year. And also, I got a new website up and running this year. So that's a win. That took a couple of months to get to that point. So I feel really happy with where that is now. I went on three writing retreats, which was brilliant. Two in a caravan, highly recommend it. And one on my own to Whitstable in January. So that also was brilliant. I'm doing it again, but I'm taking a friend this time. And obviously, one of the high points of this year in the writing life was starting this podcast that was conceived after we used to go to the pub and make each other laugh quite a lot. But I had no idea when we started this, that our yin and yang, our polar opposite ways of coming at all different problems would make it such a good podcast, because I look forward to doing it, and I think that we come at things so differently is what makes it work.
Yeah, I love that you give me the topic like before we do it, and then we don't discuss how we're going to answer these questions beforehand. And more than likely, like, I'm totally off the mark from what you envisioned. But then it makes it more interesting because we don't talk about the same fucking thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Unless we're talking about numbers.
Yeah. Then we don't know what we're talking about. So I'd have to say, you know, from a writing and business perspective, 2019 has been my best year yet. So I can't argue with it, right? But I feel like I can do better in 2020. But maybe that's just me never being fucking satisfied. And get over yourself, Claire. You've written 300,000 words nearly.
But isn't that the whole point of what I was saying with the backlist? So when you start building up your backlist, you start making more money. So you don't have to write like 400,000 words to make the same income.
That is the point you were making, TB, I believe. And yes, of course, I love adding books to my back catalogue. It's one of my very favourite things to do. And I love having it there to... It's just like a proof, isn't it? It's proof of, you know, I can do this. I can tell a story. I mean, sometimes I think you go through the year as a writer, and as we've said before, it's a solitary job, and you always think, I hope my books are enjoyable. I hope people think that I can do this. But then if you tell anybody that you make a living from this and you've written, you know, 14, how many books have I written? 14 novels, then they do a double take and they're like, oh, well, you must know how to tell a story. And I think, oh, maybe I do.
Yeah, I mean, since moving back to the U.S., I've been taking a lot of Lyft rides. It's like Uber. I don't think you guys have Lyft in the U.K. yet. They usually ask me what I do, and then I'm like, oh, I'm a writer. And they kind of get this look, and they're like, well, how do you survive off that? And I'm like, I'm doing okay. And I do. I cover all my bills. I'm able to put money in savings. I'm doing okay. And so it's one of those things. But I really think you should not fret too much about the word count at the end of the year.
Okay.
Let's try to rein you back a bit, because like, please don't try and bash out another 20K by the end of the year, because you know it's almost Christmas. Come on.
Oh no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, no, I think the thing is that I knew that I would be writing a lot more in November and December, because I had to write the first draft of the book that I've just finished. So you know, but I now I'm into the second draft editing, so I will write a little bit more, but only the chapters that are needed. So I'm not going full out to try and beat the target of last year. It just alarmed me that, you know, I was 100,000 down with 2 months to go. I was like, wow, that's a lot.
See, I don't even keep track of the word count for the year. I used to, and I don't anymore, because it kind of stressed me out.
Well,
so I just stopped.
Clearly, I don't keep count of it. I just look at it once a year and go, ow.
But I do have some stats about for our podcast.
Go on then.
Now, I don't have any comparison, obviously, because we didn't exist in 2018. But for 2019, so we have two different numbers. So we have the website numbers, like the visitors to our actual website, and then we have the statistics from our podcasting hosting site.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the site that pushes it out to, it's not iTunes anymore. Apple? Is it Apple now?
Yeah.
Or like Spotify and all that.
Yeah.
So on our hosting site, guess how many downloads we've had for this year?
Oh god, I've no idea.
Come on, you're really good at numbers.
I really don't know. 10,000.
17K.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Considering like we had like nothing beforehand. That's a pretty good start.
Yeah.
Our best month was November. Mm-hmm. And clearly our worst month was March because that was our first month. So our first month we had 532.
Yeah.
And in November was 2,669.
Wow.
I love that 69's in the number.
Yeah.
We've been listened to in 78 countries. Mm-hmm. I have to give a massive shout out to Edinburgh. That's our most, that's the place in the UK that listens to us the most. So thank you, Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. If you didn't even say it right, that'd be better, wouldn't it? Edinburgh.
You mess up all the American words, so fuck off.
Hey, but yes, thank you, Edinburgh. I'll come and have a drink in you soon.
Okay, and then for the US, a major shout out to California. And then the runner up for the US is Texas.
Well, do you know, I get a lot of emails from readers and listeners in Texas, so that does not surprise me. Also, Texas is a very big state.
It is. And then Ontario in Canada, thank you very much. And then Hamburg in Germany.
Oh, you see, I love Hamburg. Spent a lot of time in Hamburg naked in their saunas. So, good times.
So you spent time naked in saunas yeah. And I'm in my knickers watching TV.
Yeah, good times, good times.
Yeah, so for our first season, is it a season or first year of this podcast, we're doing quite well.
Yeah.
Now we have to double it.
Yeah, obviously. 2020 is the year of doubling our listenership. But no, seriously, if you do listen regularly, or even if you're a first-time listener today, welcome. But thank you for downloading and listening. We do appreciate it. And it shows us that you want it to continue, basically, because if nobody listened, we'd be a bit sad, wouldn't we, TB?
Would we? We still like to talk.
Yeah. Let's face it, we still do it. So my other question was, so what's not gone so well? Because I had that down. Have you done that?
Well, I didn't publish the fifth book. And I have to admit, my last quarter in 2019 has been extremely stressful. I did not plan appropriately. And I put a lot of stress on myself. And I'm trying my best to avoid burnout.
Yes, which is why you should have those 3 days in your pants. Maybe take another look at your schedule for 2020. I'm just saying. Also, so for me, what's not gone so well? Well, there are things we've already mentioned. So starting and stopping a book. I did it twice in 2019. You did it three times. And it's something I haven't done before. And it's something I'm really going to try really hard to avoid in 2020 because it probably set me back quite a few weeks. In time, just trying to get back into those books and those characters. Once you've, you know, one of them I'd half written, and then when I went back, I changed the plot, and then I've changed it again. And yeah, so that's the one I'm writing at the moment. And the other one was Made in London, which I wrote and got it to an editor, but then I had to go back into it. Having said all that, I'm going to do exactly that with the first book I'm going to write in 2020. So I haven't learned my lesson, have I? I'm writing the Christmas book, and then I'm probably going to park it. So. Great start to 2020, Claire, just contradicting yourself right off the bat. I aim to publish four. We're really learning our lessons, aren't we? Do as we say, not as we do, everyone. I aim to publish four books in 2019. I failed and I published three, but you know, three. I had a lot of holidays away.
You failed? No. You published three books. You
okay.
Did not fail.
I know.
Oh my god.
It's all about the language and the semantics, isn't it? I published three books in 2019. Yay me! Woo! Also in 2019, but this happened in 2018 as well. 2018 and 2019, I had at least 10 weeks off. In 2018, I think I had 12. So I had a lot of time off. But the thing was, I knew those holidays were coming up. In 2019, I really didn't plan very well around them. So I knew all those holidays were coming up. And yeah, it was a bit of a shit show. Launching all my books around two of the holidays, it wasn't very well planned at all. So this year, I plan to do planning better. TV. My plan is to do planning better. I say that this year I haven't got as many holidays away booked, and I haven't, but I've already got 3 weeks booked. So I need to just plan around those. But I'm not going to be taking so much time off. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to get four books published. But watch this space. The other big thing that has been deteriorating this year is my body. Yes, it's beginning to show signs of desk wear and tear. So previously, I've always been quite active, like I walk a lot and I go to the gym and I do weights and hit and all that. And I still do all that. I think this year I've been doing more longer bouts sitting at the desk, and that's not good. It's not good for you, and it will catch up with you. And so I need to address that in 2020. I think I've just been lucky previously, but maybe just getting older and maybe I just need to get a new office chair, probably a mix of those two things. I think that I've had more injuries this year than I have just like physical injuries through going to the gym, but also just shoulder tightness and, you know, back tightness and all that. So I just need to do more stretching and make it a priority. There we are. Well, that is how our 2019 went. Overall, I think we can say it was a win for both of us, wasn't it?
It was. And I really want you to stop saying I failed.
I will try and do that. That's my goal for 2020.
And I'm going to try and learn math.
That's it for this week. Join us next week when we're going to be talking about our goals for 29. No, our goals for 2020.
And I would like to say, we probably should have said this in the beginning, but Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year. Happy, happy, happy New Year. And let's make it a fan-bloody-sastic one.
Yeah, and let us know how your 2020... God, we suck at dates. Anything with a number, we're going to massacre. Let us know how your 2019 went.
Let us know how your 2019 went in the comments, on email, on Twitter, on Facebook. Just hit us up, whichever way you want. And your name can be read out on this fantastic podcast and be zoomed out into the world to thousands of listeners, as we know now. Join us next week for 2020 goals. See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much, and see you next time.